Welcome to the Go Getter Podcast. My name is Anna Wallace and I'm the founder of the Weight Loss Academy Coaching Certification. I'm a registered nutritionist, NLP practitioner, life and success coach. I'm a serial goal getter and obsessed with helping you achieve more out of life, more happiness, fulfillment, excitement, you name it. I want you to realize your potential and that everything you want to achieve is possible with the right attitude and mindset. If you're looking to massively upgrade your life, take control of your eating habits, start a business, become a health coach, or connect yourself on a more spiritual level, this podcast is for you. Look at this podcast as your daily dose of goodness to help you be, do, and have exactly what you want in life. I will provide you with the tools, strategies, resources, interviews, and solo episodes to inspire you to live your best life. I'm excited to guide you on this path. So thank you for hitting play. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of the Goal Getter Podcast. So today we have a very special guest. Today we have Nicola Clougherty on the podcast, and I'm so excited for today's episode because those of you who have been following myself and Nicola for a while will know that myself and Nicola used to do the Selfish podcast together up until I had my son last year. So I'm really, really excited for today's episode because we're going to chat all about human design and womb wisdom and all of these beautiful things that Nicola is doing in the world at the moment. So I want to welcome you today, Nicola. How are you?
Hello. This is so amazing. It's been so long since we've done this.
I know. It's exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I'm good, doll. How are you?
Good. I'm excellent as well. So what I'm going to do to begin with is just do a little introduction and then we can get started and you can fill us in on all this goodness. As a little bit of background information, right now you are doing a lot of stuff in the online world to do with like womb wisdom and human design. And what eventually led you on this path, journey. I say journey, but I know you don't like this word, right?
There's no other word. Anyway. There's no other word.
Yeah, I know. But so basically, Nicola used to work in the corporate world up until 2016. And her normal way of living was, you know, very, very fast paced, very much in the masculine energy, action orientated, getting shit done, getting things done fast. And she really wasn't listening to what her body actually needed. And at one point, she was introduced to a lot of different holistic ways of living, and she was introduced to lots of practices and tools which have really helped her cultivate a life which is truly in balance with who she is, who she is truly herself. So she's worked with a lot of different modalities, this human design, which we're going to talk a lot more about today, and also womb wisdom. So Nicola, what have you been up to today?
Oh, well, do you know what? I got up at a sparrow's fart and went for a swim at
nice.
6 a.m. So it's been quite a big old, it's been quite a full-on day, which is awesome. And so just the usual morning stuff. We have my stepson. And so there's a school, the school run. We actually walked today.
Oh, lovely.
Beautiful. And then I've just been working. I've just been doing some work at home and just getting down with it. Nothing crazy.
Good. So we're going to be talking all about human design and really diving into that today. But I would want to know, first of all, what was your life like before you went on this path of discovery yourself?
Yeah, good question. So it's interesting because when you actually find out more about who you truly are with human design, it's almost like validation and license for who you knew that you already were. So, way back when I would have this urge towards more of a holistic approach with life, but then mm-hmm. I would let the way that I suppose culturally and society and my own, I suppose, conditioning get in the way and stop me from being who I was. But I would work, you know, I think as well, like I was working, so I went to university. When I finished university, I started working. I traveled a lot. I lived in New Zealand. I've lived in Spain, from the UK. Obviously now I live in Amsterdam, not obviously, but now I live in Amsterdam for the last 4 years. And I've done lots of different things. I've loved variety, the variety of life. But in the working world, like I was focused on corporate in marketing and communications predominantly. And don't get me wrong, I love it. I've done lots of, you know, very much people oriented. I've been a bit in HR. We'll talk about manifesting generator, but I am a manifesting generator. We like lots of different things. So, and I know my kind of skill set was quite broad. And so I applied what I had in the working world. And I ended up being in marketing comms. Now I know communication is like definitely a real foundation of mine. So I loved it, but I was in this kind of, and this is a likely story, right? In this kind of crazy world of on all the time and go, go, go. And, you know, in the office doing lots of the cultural stuff and doing my job in hand and like going to the gym and squeezing these things in, and had this mindset definitely like that I had to do like hardcore workouts in order to free my mind and to relax and stuff. Mm-hmm. Always had a fairly good relationship with food in terms of healthy eating, but would definitely go down that fuck it, it's the weekend and binge a little bit and was really imbalanced in that respect.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, as they say, you know, as you get older, you kind of like things change a little bit, but I was still in this, still in this mentality of like, I need to do more and go like for action all the time and have all of my time filled up doing stuff, and often feeling like, fuck, what have I done? Like, you know, I feel like I've been doing things, but what have I actually achieved? Mm. And when we moved to Amsterdam back in mid 2016, I decided that I would start working for myself. So consulting and freelancing in marketing.
Yeah.
And at that point, actually before that, I had some health stuff going on myself. So I was due to get lovely image in your head about to come into your head right now. I was due to have a colonoscopy because I just was having all of these all of these issues going on. And I was living in New Zealand at the time, and I had something when I was younger called Hirschsprung disease. And they said, because I had that, it was a pre-existing condition, and I'd need to pay like $3,000 for this colonoscopy. And I thought, pay $3,000 for that process. No, thanks. Yeah. And I just thought like, there's gotta be something else that can support me. Like, you know,
yeah.
And, prior to that, I had really opened my eyes up to really seeing food as more of a medicine, and what I ate and how I could look after my body with the food that I consumed.
Mm.
And so, and I had gone through this program, Fad Diet. Anna loves those.
Alert, Fad Diet.
But it was, for me, it was like, it opened my eyes to sugar. And I knew that sugar for me was just like, oh, and is something that I have to be really mindful of. I have suffered with candida. And, you know, like it was one of those things. So it kind of opened up my eyes very much to like how you can remove things or you can change things, and especially in your diet, and how that can really affect you. And so when that happened, when I was still in New Zealand, I was like, oh my God, I'm not paying for that. A, I don't have the money. B, who would pay money for that?
Mm-hmm. should be for free, shouldn't it?
Yeah, totally. I was like, surely you should pay me.
You should pay me.
Right?
You should pay me.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
exactly. And so I was like, how can I like look into tools that are around me? And it was actually then that I saw essential oils. And so I was like, and then I went, oh God, yeah, definitely. What? This is a fad. Oh, another thing. Mm-hmm, love a fad. Mm-hmm. What am I doing? But I actually started using essential oils, and that was one of the biggest catalysts of me being more open-minded to this wonderful world of holistic approach.
Yeah.
and actually starting to live a very different way. And when I moved here and I was out of the corporate world, you know, the structure is kind of removed. You're not getting, mm-hmm. you're obviously getting up and you're doing the things in the day, but you're less robotic.
Yeah.
And that can be, for me, that was like, shit, man, this is actually quite crazy and quite scary. And when my eyes were open to the way that that more holistic approach and the different tools and modalities, I started tapping into so many different things. And do you know what? Like, I feel like I burnt out from all of those different things that were like surrounding me, like not essential oils, but like different modalities, you know, like you need to meditate every day, you need to journal every day, you need to do all these things. Mm-hmm. And having that tick list, I often talk to my clients about this and people that I work with and when I do workshops and things like that, that you have to be really mindful when you're opening your world up to more self-love, more self-care, more mm-hmm. holistic approaches, because it can run the risk of it being another tick list of what you need to do, and you start shitting all over yourself. So I always talk about like shitting all over ourselves, mm-hmm. and don't get me wrong, I'm by no means perfect, like, you know, but I was in the, you know, 2016 and 17, I was shitting all over myself. I was feeling like I should do all of these things, and why was I feeling better? And, you know, And I was like loving that I had this time and this freedom, but something fell off. And actually 3 years ago, I was introduced to the wonderful work of Alyssa Beattie. Now, she coined the term cycle syncing. Mm. And I should say, like a few years before that, I actually really realized like what a woman's body does and how it works. Mm-hmm. And, you know, had gone my previous like 20 years or so, 30 years, shall we say. So it was around like my 29, 30 that I was like, let me actually work out how this all works. And I was like, oh my gosh, like how our hormones work. I had no idea. Mm-hmm. And so when I learned about cycle syncing, I was like, oh, this sounds like incredible. It's science. It's related to our biology. It's like very, so cycle syncing is very, is basically looking at how you live more in sync with your cycle, your female cycle.
Yeah.
On a, like that monthly basis. So I kind of tried that on, and this there for me, kind of, I found this like, oh, this like womb, like I speak to call it like womb wisdom. It was like, this is already inside me. Like this is, and I've been kind of going against this natural rhythm. But for me personally, like I wasn't fully immersed in cycle syncing at this time. I was probably like half in, half out. Mm-hmm. And I'd started on a few areas because I didn't want to overwhelm myself, because I know what I'm like. I go all in and then I'm like, oh, get overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So with that, I actually was like, I don't think I'm great. And I'd been to the hospital to have my hormones tested. And when you go to like the hospital, it's quite generic. And, you know, you have these like brackets of like this range, right? Of like high and low. And if you're off the range, then, you know, they might dig a bit deeper. And for a few of my hormones, I was quite low. And they were like, you're fine, you know, if you want to feel better, like, don't drink alcohol, don't do this, don't do that. Mm. And it was very, you know, and I was like, hang on a minute, I have a really holistic approach to my life. And it was so general. And I was just like, there is something wrong.
Yeah.
And I remember Herman, my partner, and I having a conversation. He was like, are you looking for something to be wrong? I was like, no, I'm looking to feel healed, like to heal and to feel better. And I just know inherently in me that something is off. Mm-hmm. And I actually went to a functional doctor, and she ran bloods even more thoroughly for different hormones that we have in our body, which I had no bloody idea what they were. I was just like, oh my God, what are all these, mm-hmm. these hormones that I had no idea about? And the results were, like, I intuitively knew that I was very hormonally imbalanced.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, oh my goodness. So then I spent a good 6 months or so just really focused on healing myself physically.
Yeah.
And then with that kind of came that balance of emotions. So with that, there was, you know, a specific protocol that I went through for myself, but I really immerse myself in that womb wisdom, in that cycle syncing, in working with the natural ebb and flow of my female hormones, yeah, in what I did and how I worked and all of that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So that, mm-hmm, for me was like, oh my God. And I felt that, I always talk about it as like that reconnection to self. Yeah. So I really truly believe, and we'll talk about more about human design, because human design is just like really talks to this as well, is that we all know who we all have it in us inherently to guide ourselves, to hear ourselves, what our body needs to live and be that truest self. Yeah. But we fall off track, and there's lots of things that get in the way. There's conditioning from our family, our upbringing, society, culture, messages we hear, mm-hmm, via, mm-hmm, all of the things. So yeah, that was like, for me, that kind of like hitting a bit of that, like, I'm not very well, and admitting, yeah, that, not being that. So I was just like, I'm fine. It's all good. Moved, yeah, country, started work for myself, fully immersed in a stepmom role, the modern complexities of family life and, mm-hmm, the challenges, like, I'm all good. And then I was just like, boom, I'm not. And so that acceptance that I wasn't, and that kind of stopping and going, okay, what do I need right now? So when I talked about earlier, like when I had this like list of things to do, like meditation, EFT, all of these different modalities, like journaling, breath work, I was going, I'm doing all these things. Why the hell do I not feel better? Mm. And when I kind of like hit that, like, well, accepted and realized that actually I wasn't that great, I then sat back and was like, enough of looking out there to what everybody else suggests you need to do for your daily and your morning routines. And I mean, like, you know, Anna, you and I, at the start, in the first season of the Selfish Project that we did, Selfish podcast we did together, yeah, like, we talked about routines and the importance of that. And like, now I don't have a solid routine every day. I do things every day, but I don't have a structure. I'm like, what do I need today for, mm-hmm, myself? And that for me was one of the biggest things, because I was looking out to everywhere else and not looking in my own toolbox and be like, what do I need today? Because when you actually look at the way your hormones naturally ebb and flow, what you need changes.
Yeah.
And when you actually know, when you dig deeper into your human design and you understand, like, there's so much energy and there's so many different energies and themes and skills and tools that we have in us, we work with that. So it's really, again, about tuning back into yourself. So yeah, I went from being like, well, off tune to being way more in tune.
Yeah. And I guess, like, I think really, you know, we do all have access to this.
Yeah.
You know, whether you're tracking cycles or, you know, your human design, the truth is that we actually do have access. If we stop and actually tune in to our bodies, it's just that so many people aren't stopping and aren't tuning in, and as you say, like, you know, forcing themselves to go all the time, because people feel like they have to go all the time, but you don't, you know. So it's like feeling into that and feeling into how you actually feel in that current moment, I think, is so important. And yeah, I feel like there's a big gap there.
Yeah.
And with, like, obviously, like, talking about women here, because most of my experience is with women as well, but I think women don't trust themselves, yeah, or they don't trust the feelings that, mm, come from them, you know. It's like, so we're very critical of ourselves. So I think, yeah, that's a beautiful place that you've got yourself into now.
Yeah.
And how would you explain human design to somebody that doesn't really know anything about it?
Yeah, what the hell is it? So before I go into like actually what it is, like, to me, human design gives you is this tool and this entry point into your soul. So it for you, for me, it like is about even more self-awareness and, mm-hmm, a self-connection and then self-nourishment, because it's basically who your soul, we talk about your soul, right? Like, this is who your soul intended you to be in this lifetime, how it wants you to, how you are set up to engage with life and do life and like win at life. And so, you know, for two souls, they're very different. So, you know, if we talk about Anna and I, we've got some similarities in our charts, and then but there is polarity in everyone's chart. But 1 in 2 billion charts only are the same. Like, you are so unique when you get to that. There is lots to it, to a body graph, a chart, but you are so unique. And it is so interesting because we are so conditioned to believe that we need to do things the same way. And we need to be productive in the same way, and we need to, you know, act the same way. But it's like each of us at like a soul level comes into the world, into this human experience, into the life that we live right now, in the perfect portal for them to like be a human.
Yeah.
And, you know, with human design, it's a real kind of guidance tool. And for me, like, it's that body awareness, not for me, but for human design, it's about that body awareness. And it's like coming back into your body, and a real way for you to make decisions like that lead your life and help you do the things that are best for you. Not best for Anna, not best for, you know, so Sally down the road and you know, what have you. It's like, what's best for you? And again, it's that body and not your head. Now we fall into that headspace where it's like, oh, I think I should do this. It's like, but what does our body do? So
and being able to make those decisions what's the word? Like your inner clarity, I suppose.
Yeah, your inner guidance system. So we'll talk about, you know, the foundations of human design as well a little bit later. But like, it's that we have this, what we call in human design, your authority. Now that's your like inner guidance system for your decisions, right? And it's like, therein lies your clarity. The way that you can seek clarity, it's like when you know that, and you then, so you know what your authority is, and then you have something come your way, for example, a job opportunity or, you know, a job opportunity. Perhaps you're like buying a house, perhaps you're looking for love and you meet someone and you kind of, you like have those bodily desires. Like, why would we have bodily pulls and desires and, you know, urges, and you're just like, oh, I just need to do this, or I just need to go there, if there wasn't something in it? And so this is what, this is the beauty, like that. Yeah. That's the beauty of human design.
I like, for somebody that has never ever heard of it before, like, you know, obviously we have horoscopes, right?
Yeah.
Everybody knows horoscopes. So how would you say they, like, they're obviously completely different from horoscopes, because like human design is like so much more specific.
Yeah.
But I feel like for somebody that's coming in completely brand new to this, they might, like, I'm just trying to say, like, this is like,
how is it different?
Yeah, how is it different from horoscopes? Because also, like, there's, I suppose how we could say it is, like, for your horoscope, there's like all the different signs.
Mm.
And with human design, there's different, you know, you can have a different human design, and then there's all different parts that come under it, but maybe you can explain that in a more simple way.
Yeah. So when you actually do your body graph, as we call it in human design, you will see that there is so much there, and you'll be like, oh my gosh, what does all this mean?
Yeah.
And so it is, so it's one, human design is one master system. And so it's pretty new. It's from 1987 by a chap called, pronounce his name so badly, so I have to apologize. Ra Urahu.
Sounds amazing.
I know, but I always like, I have to, I, what I need to do is I need to learn not to say, oh, I'm going to pronounce it wrong, and just say
and
it.
Just say it. Oh, yeah, exactly.
I have this like inner voice that always says to me, just apologize before you do it. Anyway, so we continue. So it's a real, so the download was only, you know, over 30 years ago. And so this beautiful master system, human design, is a mix of five modalities. So it is a mix of science, it's a mix of ancient wisdom and art in there as well. And so when you say about, you know, star signs, astrology is part of that. So you know, we have in there the ancient wisdom of astrology, but it's not just like Mystic Meg telling you your horoscopes.
This month you're going to find a million pounds under a rock.
Yeah. And we can go so much deeper than that. And it's not astrology is huge. There's parts of these things that I'm just about to talk about. So astrology, the Kabbalah, specifically the Tree of Life.
Yeah.
The chakra system, which we actually know that as we've been told about the seven centers, but it's actually nine energy centers that we work with, and the I Ching as well. And so, and then there's those modern sciences, so that quantum physics in there, and human genetic coding. So this is where it gets a little bit more, like art and ancient wisdom meets science. So there's I won't go too much down a rabbit hole of a science side of things, but it's the amalgamation of these six modalities in one, which we end up with this really kind of like deep connected system, which actually can be translated to individuals in a real simple way. I mean, there are I think some sites and information out there that is quite complex to those that are like, what the heck, you know, have no idea about human design and all of that. They can get a little bit overwhelmed, but there's a really simple and digestible way that we communicate, and then whilst keeping like that real truth and intricate detail of each modality. And so this is why it's really, I believe, important to connect with somebody who can actually help you understand who you are overall, but the foundations, because like I say, we've got all of these modalities in there. And so it's a real mix as well. So it's personality. So that's like conscious to you. And then you've got the subconscious, which is more of the design. And so when you have a reading with somebody, some of the stuff you're like, oh my God, yeah, that's totally me. And then other things you're like, huh, really? And it's subconscious to you. And maybe you're not living it because you never knew that it was truly in you. Or maybe you thought it was in you, but you're like, no, the world tells me I can't be like this. And so, you know, initial dig into human design, there's four areas that I would focus on with somebody. So do you want me to talk about those now?
Before we dive into that, I suppose you could explain to us, like, why should people learn their human design, or why should they tap into it?
Okay. Well, my friends, for me, in my own experience of learning my human design, there were a load of, oh my God, like, fuck yeah moments of, I knew I was this way. Yeah. I knew this in me already.
For me also.
And I mean, I remember after I did your reading, and you were like, oh my gosh, like some of this stuff, like, I know. And there were some things that you were like, I don't quite know. Which are questionable, because you've been living this way for what, 30 so years. So you know. So the reason why I would say do it is because you learn more about who you truly are, and you discover, and you can start to try on skills and themes that are inherently in you. So you could, you know, for example, like for me at the time, so I mentioned essential oils earlier. I love them. I use them. I shared them. I was like, I'm going to build the business side of things.
Yeah.
For me, I was doing that, and it would come back, and I use them as a modality and tool, and I will always, always do that, and will always encourage other people to do that as well. But for me, the business side of things, the way that I was doing that, I was like, oh, I just don't know whether this feels right. And the more I dug into my human design, I was like, do you know what? I feel like this isn't the right model and the right way of working for me, because I have in my graph, like, I have this energy that goes up and down, and MG energy is quite like that anyway. And I was like, you know, I'm
just before you, sorry, do you mind if I interrupt you there? You just mentioned MG.
Oh, sorry. So yes.
You maybe want to just clarify what that is.
Yeah, sorry. So a manifesting generator. I will, in a second, I'll tell you all of those energy types. So you know. So I knew with myself, like as a manifesting generator, I know, brew the ocean, sorry.
No, totally cool.
that was also something for me specifically that was, you know, this part of my energy. And so with running a doTERRA business for me, it's like you're working on that monthly basis and it just felt like I was like putting all my energy in and then coming back and like, you know, just not working with my natural rhythm and flow. Mm. And the more I learned about my human design, the more I was like, I think this is actually isn't right for me. And it was a little bit of acceptance that, you know, it's quite hard acceptance in a way because I felt like I'd failed. Yeah. But I knew that I hadn't failed because I had achieved so much during that time. I've made some of like the best friends and relationships that I have made. And I was like, it opened up my world in so many different ways. And also like one of those ways was actually being introduced to human design.
Yeah.
So, you know, like it served so many purposes, but for me, I started to understand myself even more. And then I started to realize like how I needed to work and engage with life and win at life. And it wasn't going to be the way that the doTERRA business for me was structured.
Yeah.
So why is it good to do it? Because you are actually going to start living from who your soul, who you are, who you're truly meant to be and how you're meant to engage with life. And when you start to try that on, so for example, when you start to listen to what we call our authority, we'll talk about what that is, and you use your authority to make decisions and they're energetically correct for you and you don't feel like heavy and like, oh God, I'm people pleasing. I didn't want to do that and I made the wrong decision. Yeah. I mean, that in itself is like, why wouldn't you understand your human design? Because to feel really good about how you make decisions in life, like win.
And if I can even just explain, like, I think for me, like that was one of the biggest takeaways from the reading that you did for me. Because I actually feel like that's probably one of the reasons why I also wanted it. As you go through life, like, you know, sometimes you're making big decisions or big business decisions, life decisions, whatever it is. And I'm like, I want to understand more about when, like, obviously I know that, you know, you're going to make some wrong decisions, like, because maybe there's a learning there or something, but I just want to feel more into my decisions and make better decisions based on what feels right in that moment. And for when I had that reading with you and you explained to me like the type of human design that I have, that I'm like, what do you call that? Is there a specific name for it? I know it's, you know, how I make the decisions.
Sacral.
Oh yeah. So then it's like, you know, I know, you know, like I know there and then in the moment how it feels, like if it's a yes or a no. So like if somebody says to me, Anna, on Friday night, you want to come for dinner? Like I'll know in the split second if it's a yes or a no. I just know that feeling. Whereas like sometimes if somebody ask me to do something or if I have to, you know, make a decision, like I might be maybe, you know, and I'm like battling, whereas like I actually know the answer straight away.
Yeah. You so know, for you, the mantra is there is only truth in the now. For me, I'm an emotional authority. I have to ride the wave. There is no truth in the now.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
I actually thought that I was what you were. So then sometimes I was like leaving it a long time to make a decision, but then I was ending up being more confused.
Yeah. Which is really interesting because it's then therein sometimes lies the condition and the belief or the what you're hearing from other people and trying on for yourself, which actually is energetically incorrect for you because you're thinking, oh, well, we're told that we shouldn't make decisions like that because... Yeah. You know, you should sleep on it and like, you know, sink in. And then other people go, oh, yeah, what's your gut? What does your gut say? And I'm like, oh. And I've got, you only ever have one authority. And let's talk next about that because what that means, because people will be like, what the hell is all this authority she's talking about? But everyone only has one authority. But when we have our 9 centers, for example, like Anna is a sacral authority, and she is defined there, which I'll talk a little bit about. And I have a emotional authority and I'm defined there, but I also have a defined sacral and a defined spleen. And so these parts of my body are like, when I say defined, it means it's written in pen, like these energies and these the essence of these centers are within me already, defined, reliable. When you're making decisions and you have two or three of those defined, you're like, ah, because you hear the instant, like the spleen is even more instant and it's like one time only. Sacral, you have a little bit more time, but it's like there's the only truth in the now. And the emotional authority, that is riding the emotional wave before you make a decision. Now, I have heard people say, what does your gut say? And I'll be like, oh, go do the thing. And then the next day I'm like, why did I do that? That yes. is so energetically incorrect for me. And I yes. spent like basically 34 years, 35 years of my life
yeah.
with regret, making decisions about things, following my gut. And yeah. then when I found out my authority and when I go, wait, I'm just going to wait on this now. I'm going to sleep on it. I'm going to ride the emotional wave. Perhaps I'll journal on it and sort of yeah. say, how do I feel now? And then how do I feel the next day? And yeah. I give myself space and time. That decision is usually right for me. You yeah. know, like that is what is right for me. And so that is just like.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. And then you know that you're doing it. You're doing what's right for you.
Exactly. And I feel like if people know that, like that's powerful, you know, because yeah. sometimes, you know, as I said, like for me, before I knew that, then I was like, oh, like, am I making my decisions in the right way? Or, you know, it was definitely something I was actually thinking about because mm. also I started to become quite interested in human design as well. I didn't really understand everything. Mm. So I was like, just, I don't know what I was doing, but I tried to like navigate it, but not really understand. Mm. And, you know, whereas like, you know, if say for example, for someone like me that I can make a decision in the moment, whereas mm. like if I didn't do that and if I'd say, oh, I'm going to sleep on it. And then if I start talking to other people to maybe ask for advice and then somebody else is like, maybe no, that's not a good idea. So then I get external influences coming in yeah. and telling me, no, it's not a good idea that I'm sleeping on it. You know, and then it's like you're
muddies your waters.
Yeah. yeah, it's like then I have no idea if I'm making the right or wrong decision. So
yeah,
that for me was it was actually a game changer. Like I just know I feel into that, like in that moment, and I know when something's a hell yes and when it's an absolute hell no, and I'm confident in my decision making.
Yeah, it's so interesting, and you know, when you think about like what's the most important. Like what's one of the most important things? There's lots to a human design chart, right? So let's just talk maybe a little bit about those energy types, because this is like when you know your energy type, you get an aha moment. And it's actually the founder of human design. He says that most people are going to take 2 to 3 years to live within yeah. their energy type and with their strategy and their authority. And so when you think about that, you're like, and when you kind of know it, you're like, oh my gosh, okay, really? Like that long for that? But you yeah. do not realize how much we are doing things against how we are energetically made up. Mm-hmm. And some of it will happen quicker. It depends on how much you throw yourself into it. I think it depends on like who you are, where you're at in terms of your openness to giving yourself space and development, personal development and growth and things like that. But so like energy types, this is really like, there are 5 energy types and this is how to exchange your energy with the world around you. So we each have a very different way. We can each have, like we could all have different ways of engaging with that energy yeah. Around us. And when I talk about that, it's like, you know, people, situations, opportunities. So there'll be like literal things and then energetic things.
Yeah.
But like when you think about it, and what's crazy is that, and what we can't sometimes fathom because we come from the mind and not from the body, is that everything that is meant for us is kind of waiting in the wings. But we need to be living in that energetic alignment
yeah.
before we get it. And, you know, once you know the foundations of your human design, you won't be wasting your time and energy living out of energetic alignment, because you want to call in the things that are so meant for you. Like, you want to be open in that space. And so we have the energy types, and I'll talk about those specifically. And then we have each energy type has a strategy. Now, this is like this, our strategy is like living in accordance with your energy type. Okay. Yeah. Like, meaning how to go about living life. And then we have this authority. You've heard me say this, was talk about this a lot. Now, this is our inner guidance system. So this is something that is around us making our decisions. And this is like, there is only one. And, you know, this could be a challenge as well, because when you're in a partnership and you've got an emotional authority and your partner's got sacral, like, this can be a challenge. Or if you're in a work situation, you know, people are like, what's your decision? You're like, ah, and sometimes you can't sleep on it. I get it. Like, you can't be like, can I wait? This is always my like, ha ha. I'm like, can I sleep on it for 24 hours to decide what I'm going to eat when we go to the restaurant? This is now why I look at menus before going, because I'm like, I can't make a decision. But our authority is like how we make energetically correct decisions for ourselves, not for others. And so when you think about, you know, your energy type and you start to live by that, and you know your strategy, which is basically how you go about living your life, and you know your authority, which is your you know, your dominant like inner guidance system, you're going to be living in energetic alignment. And so your strategy and your authority really work together.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about those energy types. So we have manifestors. Now, some of the words we have in language we have in human design, like, don't take it completely literally. But anyway, we'll go. Mm-hmm. So manifestors are real, you know, they're your kind of like trailblazers. They're here to create. They're here to be so intentional. They kind of create movements. If you look at history, if you look at who are manifestors, kings, queens, those who created change, Hitler is one.
Not
the best of examples, but somebody, you know, like that go in and like just change things. And manifesting like energy is an energy, and the way that they need to like live life is like, not that they are here to ask for permission, and they are here to initiate. And so, excuse me, a lot of what we hear nowadays is like, don't, you know, wait for everybody, be collaborative. And manifestors are not designed that way. Like, they're meant to be expressing, just doing them and going for what they want and creating and honoring those impulses. And, you know, with their strategy being to initiate, they can inform others, but they don't need to. Their strategy is to inform others. So it's like they can go initiate and they can say, hey, this is what I'm doing. And if somebody comes to them and says, well, I don't think you should do that, maybe you should do that, it's well within a manifestor's right to be like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. Like, if they buy into that, those other people who are trying to deter them from the thing that they're doing, that they then fall out of energetic alignment. And that's their strategy, is to, they're here to initiate, and their strategy is to inform. Mm-hmm. And they are, that they have this aura, and it's to repel. And it's not like to repel people and be closed and repel and be like, you know, but it's more like they need to get on with their thing and not be dragged down by basically others. So, and this actually, manifestors are about 9% of the world, 9 to 10% of the population. So there's not a great deal of manifestors out there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're awesome. And when you have manifestors in your life, you're like, oh, you can just see them. They're just like, here, I'm doing the thing. And it's like, the best thing is to give them the freedom and the space to do it.
Yeah.
And then we have generators. And generators, they make up around like 34% of the world's population. And they're like life force in motion. They are They are the people who are going from A to B, getting stuff done. They are ready to respond when they're in the most energetic alignment. Their strategy is to respond. So when we talk about responding, it's like, if you think about manifestors, they're here to initiate and to inform. Like, they're there to go create and do the thing. Generators, and we'll talk about manifest generators as well, like, because their strategy is the same, is to respond to what comes their way. So it's not to say as you know, either a manifesting generator or a generator, you can't go and create. You don't need to. You're here to respond to what comes your way. And when I say respond, it's like, there might be an opportunity to people's requests. Perhaps you do something. So, for example, for me, I was talking to lots of different people about cycle syncing, and it kept on coming up, people asked me questions, blah, 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 and I was like, I need to put this into a program. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the program that I did is to have a new reiteration. I'm putting it into a course, and it's all going to be in one place where people could just come and buy it and all of that stuff. Because it's like, I'm responding to that. So you need to be really aware of what to respond to. But that is their strategy. That is a generator's strategy. And so, you know, it's that opposite, like I said, to initiate. Now, generators and manifesting generators, they have that sacral response. They have that life force energy in them. So they have that available. We're what we call energy beings in human design. And so manifestors don't have that. And it doesn't mean that you don't have energy. So, like, again, don't think, take things literally, like, oh, I'm a manifestor, I don't have the energy to do these things. Mm-hmm, it's just that you don't have access to this, like, life force energy. And so it can be a real challenge for generators to trust that. But they've got this real juicy, delicious energy, and people feed off that. So our non-energy types really feed off that and want to be around that.
Mm.
But like, generators need to be lit up and passionate. And so anyone can fall out of there's shadow side, right? They can fall out of that energetic alignment, and they can be burnt out if they're not doing things they love.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's the same for manifesting generators as well, because they're a hybrid of manifestors and generators. But their manifestors, generators, their strategy is also to respond.
And that's us. We're both there.
And that's us. Yeah,
just for the people to know.
We're MGs. And so that they make manifest generators make up a 34% of the world, and they're like, they have this, like I said, you know, our energy, because generators are more stable. They're mm-hmm. more kind of like, they see A to B and they get there, and mm-hmm. and manifestors are a bit more kind of out there. And some people will have more generator kind of energy in their chart than others. And so, but we have these like surges. So one day we might be like really creative and like, oh my god, all the energy to do the thing, and the next day we might be like, oh, calm, subdued, you know. And so
flat as a pancake.
flat as a pancake. And you know, prior to this I'd be like, but you have to push through,
keep going.
Yeah. And this is where the, you know, the shadow can creep in, because we start doing the things that actually don't feel good, and we're out of alignment, and we're burning out, and we lose passion. And so, you know, we can really feel, as MGs, like, we can really feel caught between like wanting to run out the door and go act and do all of the things, but then also like, you know, oh, does this feel right? Like,
yeah.
is this really good for me? And so it's really important as MGs to also like accept and be a-okay with that it's okay to change your mind. Now, yeah. MGs, like, this is like, you know, when you find out you're an MG, it's like, it's okay for you to change your mind and course correct and like do that as and when you so wish. And so, and it, but it's sometimes difficult because those around us, if they don't know their type and they're living out of their own energetic alignment, or they're not that way, they're like, oh my god, like, this past, I've had this in the past, like, god, you're always doing different things and like changing your mind. And I'm like, and I will evolve quite openly out in the world, I don't really care. And that can be confusing for other people because mm-hmm. they're like, well, she's changed, you know,
yeah.
But we are, MGs are really known to be like quick movers. And this can be challenging for ourselves because we can just go like, right, we can deplete our energy too much. But also we move even quicker than generators. But we can assume that everybody else is going to move at our speed, and that is not the case. And especially yeah. when you know, depending on who your partner is and what they are, but when you work with people, and like I worked with somebody and I discovered, and we're going to talk about projectors next, that she was a projector, and I was like, why is she not doing the things, like, you know,
come on, pick up the yeah. things.
And I then this I was in the early days of learning about human design, and I was like, Give me your birth data. Let me find out who you are. Because for me, I was like, I need to understand her.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this makes sense. This yeah. makes sense. So we talk about projectors. Now, projectors, again, that word was always like, oh, projector. Mm. So please don't take it literally. So this is 21% of the world's population. And they are here to guide. They're here to guide the collective. They are amazing. Projectors are incredible. I have met and I've been guided. My human design mentor, Brittany, is a projector, and she's just awesome at that bird's eye view, looking and directing and supporting me, and how, and like suggesting how I can do things differently and what have you, like in the work that we did together. Mm-hmm. But projectors, it has been said that a lot of projectors who haven't known their projectors have been living as energy beings such as generators or manifesting generators, and they do not have that sacral energy. They actually mm. have about 3-4 hours a day worth of like solid energy to do their thing. So I don't know if you're hearing this, like, I'm a projector, oh my gosh, and I work like a 9-to-5 oh, job, how do yeah. I manage that? It's like, you have to be so mindful of what you need to do during that day and where you put your energy into, and also who you spend time with, because that's where you get that's your energy also, from.
Yeah.
And so these projectors they just have such a beautiful, special ability to guide people, and their strategy, which is really hard. So one of my good friends who I read for, she was like, oh, I've got to wait for the invitation. What does that mean? Can I manipulate invitations? And I'm like, no, this is the thing. It's like waiting for the invitation is how you find success, and like, and that's like your happy place. And it's really challenging because we're led to believe through the conditioning of the world around us that we need to go find the thing, we need to go initiate it, we need to go do. And for her, she was like, I need to be invited, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And so, and also, this is also something which is incredible. So we hear a lot in the, especially in the spiritual world, that it's like, we can't, we need to get rid of the ego. We shouldn't be, you know, praising so much and like giving kudos all the time. Like, we need to rid that. We need to rid that. Projector's strategy is to wait for invitation, but it's also, they need recognition. They mm-hmm. need to be recognized. So they need to be told, like, thank you so much, that was amazing. Like, they need, that's their juice that fuels them. Mm-hmm. And something that can really trip projectors up is that they're trying to prove that they can hustle to keep up with the rest of the world. And they don't need to do that because they have that inconsistent energy. And so what can happen is they can really like beat themselves up and be like, oh, you know, I just need to make things happen. And that is where they fall out of like energetic alignment. And yeah. so they really need to trust that flow of life, and that these opportunities will come and they can wait for the invitation, and they just really need to like be ready for those invitations and not try to keep up with the generators and the manifesting generators in the mm-hmm. world, because that's not their skill set. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, we've got reflectors. So reflectors are rare as they are 1% of the population. It is that like they in a nutshell are like the true mirrors for society. So they have like the greatest potential for like wisdoms out of all of the type. And they're here to show us, basically, to be that mirror. And their strategy, which is must be so frustrating, I haven't read for a reflector yet, but they have to wait a lunar cycle.
Jeez. Wow.
So emotions, like, what, ride the spectrums of emotion throughout a whole month before a decision, which obviously cannot be done with some things, but yeah,
that's a bit impossible.
It's like it will help them like lead a life that's like more beautiful and surprising and exciting in that way than like disappointing. But I think that this is something that's actually really, really hard, especially in the world that we live in, because it's like, you know, I think like as an emotional authority, I've got to ride the wave for like 24 hours. Imagine riding it for like 30 days. That's crazy. But like a real challenge to them is like, you know, they need to like understand and operate differently from like 99% of the world, and like though that that's okay and that's best for them, but that is a real challenge because you've got all of these other people doing it completely different to you.
Yeah. Is there five types? Is that correct?
There's five energy types. There's five energy types.
So yeah. Everyone will you'll fall into one essentially, and then you know.
Yeah.
There's so much more to it, of course, when you go like deeper. But how would somebody get started if they wanted to learn about human design? Like what would you recommend?
Yeah, so you can run your chart for free. So you can go to mybodygraph.com and you can put in your birth data. So you need your date of birth, your time of birth, and place of birth. Time of birth is really important because this is heavily linked to our design, and so we need that information. And if you don't know exact, like roughly, you can work it out. So you can run that chart and you might go, oh my God, what does all this mean? So it's really ideal for somebody who is interested and wants to learn more about who they truly are and what they have inherently in them is to have a reading. And so that's something that I offer people is to, you know, Anna, you, like it was amazing. It's like a window into somebody's soul. So it's like, you know,
highly recommended.
Yeah. So to do a reading, which is awesome. But the kind of key is implementation, right? So it's actually like, how do like, oh my God, I know all this information. And like they say, knowledge is power, but that how do we implement it? So how do I actually remain accountable to living by my energy type and my strategy and my authority? And so I also do offer people to work with them on a 3 to 6 month basis for them to really embody who they are and how they do life and have different practices and tools and bring in that womb wisdom with them to really be who they truly are and lead this life as their soul intended. And also get that guidance, right, for like the other parts of your chart. And there's, you know, there's also, you can also go down rabbit holes of your own to find out more information. There's books and there's other resources out there.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds fabulous. And what's like one piece of advice that you would have for someone who, you know, maybe they resonate a lot with your story, they're living a very go life, they feel disconnected from themselves, maybe they feel a bit flat.
How
could human design help that person?
I think when you listen to this, if you just go run your chart and you understand your energy type and you start to honor yourself and give yourself space and not berate yourself for being, for example, if you're a manifesting generator and like you do lots of different things and you course correct a lot, and that being okay. And I think that when you actually look at your human design, the way that you talk to yourself changes. And the way that you create space, like space and connection to yourself, I think it actually, like even just knowing a few things about your human, about your personal human design, it gives you that like I said earlier, that license and that understanding of yourself, that you are going to be standing even more in your own power and more conscious and aware of that when things kind of creep up and other people's stuff comes in, when you're like, hang on a minute, this is, yeah. I would need to stay true to who I am.
I love that. And that, you know, that's really what it's all about, isn't it? It's about understanding yourself on a deeper level.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fantastic. Exactly. So what we'll do is we'll put a couple of links in the show notes for people if they want more information about how they could get a reading from you or work with you. But where do you hang out online? I already know, but anyway.
Yeah, you know me, honey. I'm an Instagram girl. Who is the name? I'm on Instagram at Nicola Cloetti. And so, yeah, that's kind of my online space to hang out the most. So my website is nicolacloetti.com.
Epic. Epic. That is so good. What a great episode. You know,
I think
it's really amazing for people to realize that there's other things, other tools out there that can help them, you know, reconnect with themselves. And again, it's not about doing more. It's not about, you know, jumping from one thing to the next, or, you know, as we were talking about before, like doing all the things. It's really just about understanding yourself on a deeper level. And we're all different, and that's okay.
And that's okay. And, you know, like I always say to people, try, even with, you know, living more in sync with your natural flow of your hormones and human design and whatever modalities and tools that I share with my clients, I'm like, try it on and see how it fits for you.
Yeah.
And think about you, rather than, you can have a big treasure chest of like stuff, but what works for you and what do you need?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, life is more fun, I think, when we learn more about ourselves.
Yeah.
You know.
Unapologetically selfish, y'all.
Oh, absolutely. You know, you got to do it.
Yeah, but then that's the whole thing, right? You're then coming.
You evolve.
Totally. And you're not going to say yes to stuff that you didn't want to. And you're not going to go down a path that fundamentally feels wrong, or make decisions, or be in relationships, or have friends that are in your life that, you know,
draining your energy.
You're going to be so mindful around how you do life and who you do life with, which I think is so powerful, because you're standing even more in your own power.
Yeah, absolutely.
Preaching to the converted.
Yeah, and having confidence in that, you know, like the people pleasing is so common in people. And you know, I just think it was a really great conversation today, and I hope that a lot of people, you know, that they probably have definitely resonated, you know, with your story a lot, 100%. And I think it just opens that conversation, you know, that you can investigate and you can learn a little bit more about yourself. Yeah. So thank you. I'm incredibly grateful for you taking time out today to talk about this delicious stuff. And I really highly recommend a reading to everyone that's listening, because I did one and it was fantastic. So I will have the link in the show notes. And thank you to everyone at home for tuning in. If you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to leave us a little review on iTunes. It would mean the world to us. And you can also tag me your biggest takeaway from the episode on Instagram. My profile is I am Anna Wallace. So folks, we will see you on the next episode.